Section 1. Script Listening Comprehension. Part A.
Number 1. So, you've decided to try the new soup recipe. How has it turned out?
I've had better.
What does the woman imply?
Number 2. Julie's mother has been making a lot of phone calls today.
The big news is that Julie and Michael have finally decided to tie the knot.
What does the woman mean?
Number 3. Can't Eric lend you some money?
He is out of cash.
What does the man say about Eric?
Number 4. How about a cup of coffee? You look tired.
Every day I promise myself that I'll go bed early, but I end up staying up anyway.
What does the man mean?
Number 5. I wish I could get around this scow moving truck.
Don't try passing it on the right. You'll get a ticket.
What does the woman imply?
Number 6. Your parents' business has done very well. Does your father have an MBA?
My father never went as far as college.
What does the man say about his father?
Number 7. I saw Suzanne at the meeting this afternoon.
Yeah, she was the last person I expected to see there.
What does the man imply about Suzanne?
Number 8. Is this Dr. Smith's office?
No, this is room 301. Dr. Smith's office is right downstairs from here.
Where is Dr. Smith's office?
Number 9. Professor, you'll be giving your lecture on the cause of the Civil War next week, right?
The week after, actually.
What does the professor say about the lecture?
Number 10. Look at these photos. They're terrible. I've got to try another camera.
Or take some photography lessons.
What does the woman imply?
Number 11. What kind of music would you like to hear?
Well, I haven't heard any good jazz for a while.
What does the woman imply?
Number 12. Kate, I want to hang this new picture. Do you have a hammer I can borrow?
No, but you could use this old shoe.
What does Kate suggest the man to do with the shoe?
Number 13. This is a great restaurant. You can get anything you want here.
Anything except good service.
What is the woman's opinion of the restaurant?
Number 14. Well, we found something nice for Jane. Now what about Steve?
Let's stop by the sporting goods store and get an archery target. Steve loves archery.
What are these two probably doing?
Number 15. The paper isn't due until next week.
Yes, I know. But I wanted to turn it in ahead of time, if that's all right.
What does the woman mean?
Number 16. Hey, Sarah.
Hi, Ed. How are you doing?
Fine. Are we still on for tonight?
I'm looking forward to it.
What does the woman mean?
Number 17. How is your experiment coming along?
It's finished, but it didn't turn out quite like I thought it would.
What does the man mean?
Number 18. What did you do after you lost your passport?
I went to see the foreign student advisor, and he reported it to the passport office in Washington.
What did the man do after he lost his passport?
Number 19. Hello, Miss Carter. This is Jack Porter. I would like to talk with Dr. Weber, please.
Oh, Jack. You just missed her.
What does the woman mean?
Number 20. I'm really tired of spending every weekend studying.
I hear you.
What does the man mean?
Number 21. It doesn't make any sense for us to go home for spring vacation now.
Especially since we'll be graduating in May.
What does the woman mean?
Number 22. I can't stand this class.
Well, you might as well get used to it. You have to take it in order to graduate.
What does the woman say about the class?
Number 23. Hello, Andy. How have you been getting on with your final project?
Fine, and I've been working hard on the various action points we agreed on our last tutorial.
Do you want to talk me through what you've done?
What does the woman mean?
Number 24. Professor Phillips' class seems pretty interesting.
I couldn't agree with you more.
What does the woman mean?
Number 25. Fred, don't feel so bad. It's not your fault your brother failed that class.
I don't know. I could have encouraged him to study more.
How does Fred feel?
Number 26. Excuse me, I'm trying to get to the courthouse and I think I'm going the wrong way. Should I have turned left on Monroe Street?
No, you're all right. Just keep going straight on 4th Avenue until you get to the post office, and turn left there.
What is the woman's destination?
Number 27. Would you like milk or sugar in your coffee?
Neither, thank you.
What does the man want?
Number 28. I heard someone say that Ally needs a lot of improvement if she hopes to win the tennis match on Saturday.
Whoever said that obviously hasn't seen her out on the court recently.
What does the woman imply about Ally?
Number 29. I don't suppose you're free to go bowling Saturday evening, are you?
As a matter of fact, I am. I was planning to go to a lecture with my sister, but it was called off.
What will the woman probably do on Saturday evening?
Number 30. I need to pay my check and leave.
I'll try to catch the waiter's eye.
What does the man intend to do? Part B. Questions number 31 to number 34. Listen to a conversation at a student health clinic.
The doctor should be able to see you in a few minutes. I just need some information from you first. What seems to be the problem?
Well, as you can see, I've got a rash on my hands and arms. I think it might be some kind of allergic reaction. My roommate just got a new cat. Maybe I'm allergic to cats.
Usually, allergies to animals don't cause rashes on your hands.
Well, maybe I'm allergic to some kind of food, or...
When did your rash first develop?
On Monday. By Tuesday, it was worse, and on Tuesday night I could hardly sleep.
Tell me, have you been out in the woods lately?
Out in the woods? I went hiking Saturday. Why? Oh, I get it. You think my rash might be caused by poison ivy, right?
Well, it looks like that. The doctor can't tell you for sure. Do you know if you came in contact with poison ivy?
No, but then I have no idea what poison ivy looks like.
It grows in clusters of three leaves, and the leaves are waxy looking.
Well, if I do have poison ivy, what can the doctor do for me?
He can prescribe the lotion that will relieve the itching. But, if I were you, I'd go to the library and look for some color photos of poison ivy, and try to avoid it the next time you go into the woods.
Number 31. What is the probable relationship between the two speakers? Number 32. According to the conversation, when did the man go hiking? Number 33. What does the woman believe is the probable source of the man's problem? Number 34. What does the woman suggest that the man do? Questions number 35 to number 38. Listen to part of a discussion in an English class.
British English and American English are really about the same, aren't they?
I don't think so. It seems to me that some of the spellings are different.
You're right, Monica. Words like theater and center end in re in England instead of in er, the way that we spell them. Let me write that on the board. Can you think of any more examples?
The word color.
Good. In fact, many words that end in or in American English are spelled our in British English, like color and honor.
I'm still not convinced. I mean, if someone comes here from England, we can all understand what he's saying. The spelling doesn't really matter that much.
Okay. Are we just talking about spelling? Or are there some differences in pronunciation and meaning too?
Professor Taylor.
Yes?
I remember seeing an English movie where the actors kept calling their apartment a flat. Half of the movie was over before I realized what they were talking about.
So there are slight differences in spelling and some vocabulary.
And pronunciation, too. You aren't going to tell me that you sound like Richard Burton.
Richard Burton wasn't English. He was Welsh.
Okay. Anyway, the pronunciation is different.
I think that we are really disagreeing about is the extent of the difference. We all agree that British English and American English are different. Right?
Sure.
Yes.
But not so different that it prevents us from understanding each other.
Well, that's what I mean.
That's what I mean, too.
Number 35. What do the speakers mainly discuss? Number 36. Why does a woman mention the word color? Number 37. What can be inferred about the word flat in British English? Number 38. On what did the class agree? Part C. Question number 39 to number 42. Listen to a talk given by an interview specialist. During a job interview, your behavior, clothes, and speech are important. It's important that you arrive on time and be polite, sincere, and organized. Most people don't realize that the way one dresses for an interview is also important. If your clothes are wrinkled or mismatched, the interviewer may think that you really don't care about your appearance and even about the quality of your work. Your outfit doesn't have to cost a fortune, but it should be neat and clean to make a good impression on the interviewer. And please, please don't arrive at the interview in clothes that have stains or rips. Don't borrow your friend's clothes if they don't fit well. This one is the common mistakes that job seekers make. They don't want to spend the money and end up losing a chance to get an offer. It is important to remember that if you don't make a good first impression, you may not get a chance to make another one. When you speak, you need to adjust your speech rate. If the interviewer speaks fast, you have to speak just as fast. If the person in charge speaks slowly, you'll have to slow down. Research has shown that most people like those individuals who speak at the same speed as they do. Number 39. What is the main purpose of this talk? Number 40. What does the speaker say about an interview outfit? Number 41. What is a common mistake people make when they go for an interview? Number 42. How should interviewees adjust their speech rate? Question number 43 to number 46. Listen to a talk given by Kate Emlin on the history of technology. Our talk today in this History of Technology series is about a feat of anti-engineering from the late 19th and early 20th century that is still very much with us today and that is linked with the history of the typewriter. It's the QWERTY keyboard. What, you might ask, is QWERTY? Well, have a look at the nearest typewriter or computer keyboard. If you look at the top row, you will see that QWERTY are the first six letters. Did you ever think, when you were learning to type, about why the letters on the keyboard are distributed the way they are? Here's the story. It all has to do with the story of the typewriter. Typewriters existed since the early 1700s, but the first commercially practical system came into being in 1873. The typewriter is one of America's greatest unsung inventions. While the telephone, automobile and airplane sped up communications and transportation, the typewriter did the same thing for the written word. But few people paid much attention, possibly because they were too busy reading what the typewriter had written about all the other inventions. The first typewriters had the keys laid out in alphabetical order, but this system had problems. Some keys that tended to be typed together were physically close. This made the tip bars hit each other and get stuck. Typewriters in 1873 jammed or got stuck if the keys next to each other were hit in quick succession. To solve this problem, in 1878, the QWERTY keyboard was developed, spacing frequent letters away from each other, and therefore reducing the number of jams. It was not specifically designed to slow down typists, as is generally believed, but the keyboard did create a built-in inefficiency for typists. The most common keys are scattered all over the keyboard rows, many on the left side. Right-handed people have to use their left hand, which is the weaker hand. Typewriter technology improved, doing away with the original rationale for the QWERTY distribution, but the keyboard remained. In spite of its inefficiency, it is the keyboard we all use today. Number 43. What does QWERTY stand for? Number 44. When did the first commercial typewriter come into being? Number 45. Where was the first commercial typewriter developed? Number 46. What was the purpose of the QWERTY keyboard layout? Question number 47 to number 50. Listen to a talk about lions. Well, most people think that lions only come from Africa. And you would be forgiven for thinking this, because in fact most lions do come from Africa. But, this hasn't always been the case. If we go back 10,000 years, we would find that there were lions roaming vast sections of the globe. But now, unfortunately, only very small sections of the lion's former habitat remain. My particular interest is Asiatic lions, which are a subspecies of African lions. It's almost 100,000 years since the Asiatic lions split off and developed a subspecies. At one time the Asiatic lion was living as far west as Greece, and they were found from there, in the band that spread east through various countries of the Middle East, all the way to India. In museums, you can now see Greek coins that have clear images of the Asiatic lion on them. Most of them are dated at around 500 before Christ. However, Europe saw its last Asiatic lion roaming free 2,000 years ago. Over the next 1900 years, the numbers of Asiatic lions in other eras declined steadily. But it was only in the 19th century that they disappeared from everywhere but India. So, how can you tell an Asiatic lion from an African lion, with which you're probably more familiar? Well, in general, Asiatic lions are not as big as African lions. The color is more or less the same, but the appearance of the mane is different, that's the hair around the lion's face and neck. The Asiatic lion's mane is noticeably shorter than the African lion's. Asiatic lions also have a long fold of skin on their undersides, whereas not many African lions have this. Number 47. When did Asiatic lions develop as a separate subspecies? Number 48. On which ancient coins that the pictures of Asiatic lions can be seen? Number 49. When did Asiatic lions disappear from Europe? Number 50. Which one is the characteristic of African lions?